Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio, sponsored by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Well, the great things that you can do with any local radio station, and it goes back to what Sarah just talked about moments ago, the 5th annual festival going on in Milton, for example. Talking about that, promoting that. We were at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Record numbers brought in there. In fact, many more dollars brought in this year than last year. We'll get a full report on that later. But we have an opportunity to talk with people and also the opportunity as part of the community to promote things that we think are very important in the community and can step things forward. The Rick Forsman Memorial Golf Scramble, which is being hosted by Penn State quarterback coach Charlie Fisher and the Forsman family, is going to take place on Friday, July 13th at Winding Brook Golf Club in Milton. Now, again, this is going to be at 1 o'clock. It's a shotgun start on Friday, July 13th. It's going to be $85 a player in four-person teams. This will have many benefits along the way, and I had a chance this morning to sit down with quarterback coach Charlie Fisher, talk about this tournament, but also we will talk about the quarterback situation as well.
Charlie, it's been an emotional time for you when you come back here to Penn State, but at the same time to lose such a good friend, and then the decision was made, hey, let's do something in his name for charity. Tell us how the idea came about.
Well, in conjunction with the Forsman family, you know, I wanted to get together with them, and Rick was my closest friend growing up, my high school center, and we stayed in touch for 44 years, long after we got done playing high school ball. Rick was one of the first guys to reach out to me when I got the job here at Penn State, so he's been a close friend, his family, and just it was a way for us to give back in his name to our community. At Warrior Run High School and, through the midget leagues and through a scholarship in his name. Just a tremendous person with a big heart. Just one of those guys that you like to be around that would give you the shirt off his back if he could. So we want to give back in his name and ensure that that continues on and to help young people along the way.
It's amazing how you build bonds through this sport. Was it this sport that helped build the bond between you playing football?
Oh, no doubt. We played from the time we were little. I can remember playing. We started playing in the backyard together. And we got a lot of great stories and a lot of great stories playing together in high school. And, of course, you know, you're obviously immediate connection with a high school quarterback and a center. So we've been close. And, we just had so much fun growing up together and talked. And, you know, he would come to games and wherever I was coaching throughout the years and stay in touch. So we're excited about this opportunity and to bring the people together in the area with our golf tournament that we're going to host. And I think it's going to be a really fun day, but it's an important day because it helps everybody heal and it gives back to the community.
It's going to be at Winding Brook Golf Club in Milton on the 13th of July, and you're going to have several autographed items as part of a silent auction that Penn State fans, I think, are going to eat up.
Yeah, we're going to have a number of things that people here. Penn State's been so good. The former players and Coach O'Brien, people just, you know, doing anything they can to help us make this special. We'll have a raffle. We'll have an auction. We'll have prizes on the course for the golfers. A lot of opportunities, not just for the golfers. We're also allowing people to come in and just at the end of the golf, they just want to come in and eat with us and get involved in a raffle. And, our approach has been just, hey, let's find people. Just give back any way you can because it's going back to the kids, to the midget program there in Watsontown. It's going back to people. It's going back to a player at Warrior Run. That's what it's all about. So any way that anybody wants to get involved, we got hole sponsorships for $100 a hole, and we've got all those kind of things. So we've got some neat things going on. We've got people that are in contact with us that are helping us there in the area. So it's going to be a fun day.
All right. Now let's get to your football team. Let's talk about the spot that people have somewhat of an interest in, Charlie, that quarterback spot. Give us an idea, in general terms, the three kids, when you look at them collectively, you sit in a meeting room with them, what do you like about them?
Well, number one, their eagerness to learn. They've embraced what Coach O'Brien's brought in here offensively. They're excited about it. That's the thing that jumps right out, because they had a lot put on them, you know, from a learning standpoint, and they dove right in. They did everything we asked them to do. They competed. They tried hard to learn. When they made a mistake, they did everything they could to learn from it and to move forward every day and get better. And there's no doubt in the last 2 weeks we made a lot of strides at that position. And, you know, that's all you can do. Every day you work hard to get a little bit better, and they all did that. They bought in and given us their best effort.
What do you put a premium on when you look at a quarterback in this system, the important factors that swing one way or the other as to a guy or guys that you would look and moving forward?
Smarts. You got to be smart. Got to be able to process information in a hurry. Get us in the best situations possible on a consistent basis. Be accurate with the ball. Get it out of your hands. All those things you hear about. But this is a premium in what we're doing here. And they've got better at that. I'm excited to see these guys continue to move forward. Spring is just one small part of the growth process. They'll work hard this summer. And, you know, that we can't coach them in the summer. They'll be out there working themselves, but they know what they got to get better at. And then we'll go to camp in August, and then we'll have, you know, 29 practice opportunities roughly where we'll work hard to continue to get them better. And promise you this, when we open up, there's going to be a guy under center.
When it gets to 2 minutes to go in a half, 2 minutes to go in the game, timeouts may be down to one, maybe none. You can't help them. They have to get it done themselves. What do you look for at that moment in a guy?
Well, that's all about your competitive nature. You know, the best ones find a way to win. They will their teams to win. That's the bottom line. Guys that have that innate ability, you know, Cutler was with us at Vanderbilt. He had that. There was just something special about him. I've had guys along the way that, you know, that were like that. There's just something in those guys that they got to have ability, but they got to have the competitive desire and that in them that just says, hey, I'm not losing today. I'm going to find a way to win. And that's what we got to have. Every team's got to have that kind of leader.
Recruiting never stops. When you were recruiting a guy, what are the traits that you're looking for that you can at least get a feel for that won't be on a tape, but you'd like to see when you actually sit down and talk with them?
Well, you know, football IQ jumps right at you. Just guys understand the game and have a thirst and a desire to learn the game. That probably is the big thing that separates. You know, everybody wants to be good, but it's a guy that has the work ethic to be really special. That's what separates guys. And, you know, something that's overlooked a lot at the quarterback position is just the physical and mental toughness that it takes. You know, you're going to get beat on at the high levels. The rush is coming. You're going to get hit. So you got to be physically tough, and you got to be mentally tough, because – you know, it's an 80-play journey or 85, 75. They're all not going to be just the way you draw them up. There's going to be some highs and lows, and it's that guy that can kind of stay the course is what I usually use the term. Just stay the course throughout the game. Don't get too high, too low. Deal with the good, deal with the adversity, and keep playing.
Back to July 13th, it sounds like Rick Forsman was that kind of guy.
Oh, special. Just a great competitor, loved football. You know, he just always wanted to call me and talk football, was so looking forward to coming to Penn State and spending time with me. So we're gonna honor that, and we're going to make sure that his name, his legacy continues on through other young people. And that's what we're trying to do July 13th. We've got flyers out throughout the area at the golf shops. And if anybody is unsure where to find out about our golf tournament, they can contact Penn State football and get a hold of me, because we want people involved anyway, whether they're playing, giving, coming to the meal, getting in a raffle, whatever. We got some great things, and we want people involved.
And that's going to take place once again on Friday, July 13th at Winding Brook Golf Club in Milton. It'll be a 1 o'clock shotgun start, $85 a player, four-person teams. They'll also have some great auction items available, among them including an autographed football by Pro Football Hall of Famer and current Tennessee Titans head coach Mike Munchak, a Matt Millen autographed jersey, Blair Thomas autographed football, and Charlie somehow coerced some guy in the broadcast booth to get Jack Ham to sign a helmet. It's all part of that. So we thank Charlie Fisher for his time. It will not be the last time we'll talk to him about this and other items as well. But I think it gave you at least a chance to get a feel for Charlie Fisher, and you know what his thought process happens to be about the quarterback situation. And once again, looking forward to working with him and looking forward to success with this tournament. I know we're 2 months out, but you start building momentum for something like this by starting this 2 months out, and we'll be sitting down with Charlie again in June and doing a little bit, and a little bit in July as well, heading up to this, because this is very important to him. And Charlie's one of our own here from the area, and it's great to have him back home after moving around the way he did, including Vanderbilt with Jay Cutler, and it's great to have him back. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Back with more of the Steve Jones Show and WKOK after this.
Sunbury Motor Company, a tradition of trust since 1915. We have the largest selection of new and used Fords, Lincolns, Hyundais, and Kias anywhere. You want a new Ford? You got it. A 2012 Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, just $232 per month. And it gets 38 miles per gallon. And if you really want to save mileage money, come get a new 2012 with 40 miles per gallon on the highway for just $292 a month. Swing on over to Sunbury Motors Kia and try on a new 2012 Kia Forte four-door sedan for just $18,230. And when it comes to used cars, well, just head over to sunburymotors.com and search our huge selection of pre-owned vehicles, where you can use our black book and take the guesswork out of trading in your old car. We give you easy access to the most up-to-date internet car buying tools. There's a reason we're number one. So come check us out today at Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, located at 943 North 4th Street in the Auto Plaza, or Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, or go to sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Great to have you with us on this beautiful day, Friday, heading into the weekend. Charlie Fisher, great guy, has a great track record as being a quarterback coach, and I think a guy that is going to have great success here, and it's something he's passionate about. And of all the things that happened after the great relationship he had with Rick Forsman over the years, and then Rick was so excited about Charlie returning to Penn State, and then to have this happen, awfully tough. So whatever we can do to promote that would be tremendous. And we're looking forward to the fact that Charlie wanted to include us in it. I thought was great, and we're thrilled to be a part of it. So our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We've talked about several things today. The Josh Beckett issue with the Red Sox, missed the turn on Saturday. That was the game I went to. Instead of seeing Josh Beckett pitch, I ended up seeing Aaron Cook pitch. And then Beckett turned out that Friday, that day before, was out playing golf. Asked about it after the game. Oh, no. Didn't want to talk about it. This guy was 9-4 last year. With the 2.17 ERA for the season on August 7th, opposing teams 191 against him. Since then, he is 6-7 with an ERA bloated over 6. So, it is an issue, and he's not dealing with it well. Social media, we've talked about today. Michael Schwimmer, whom I saw start his career with the Williamsport Crosscutters. Up with the big club. Tremendous. And had done well early in his career. Had done very well early in his career. Gets up to the big club. I was happy for him. I thought, oh, that's great. Good for him. I think that's tremendous. Right? Now up with the big club. All right. I like it. Now, he's being sent down. You know, this happens. You get into short stints, and you don't perform as well as you want, and they aren't happy with you. And let's face it, the Phillies right now are a little bit of a world of hurt in terms of how happy they are with people. And so they're struggling right now. And He tweets what they're going to do before the club releases it. Like, you're doing what? You wonder sometimes. Again, these are young people. Not as, you know, they're not as media savvy. Okay, I got it. But now they're using social media to get out their, you know, to get their message out. And it's something I vehemently disagree with. It's something I vehemently disagree with. I don't think that's the way you operate. I don't think, for example, that is the way any business wants to be operated. What business person wants their moves put out before they put them out there themselves? And Ruben Amaro cannot be a happy camper about all this, and they either need to talk to him about this. Or ignore his promotion the next time. Because I think the whole thing's amazing as to what has gone down with this. I find it to be amazing. I mean, I'm surprised. I'm surprised. But that's the era we're in right now. We're in that era where I'm at a barbecue. I really don't care. I have fans on Twitter. Okay. I'm glad you have fans. But I think sometimes it gets taken too far. This is one of those moments where it was taken too far by him. Much too far by him. And that part I find, again, I find that just a bit disturbing. So, what do you think? The Miami Dolphins banned Twitter, other NFL, and by the way, I guess, what, players tweeting during games? Are players tweeting during games, for goodness sakes? The NFL finally stepped in about that. Well, you have to step in about that. And I don't need, and again, I think too often reporters are using media like that. Let's go to Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah, Dave, how are you?
I'm fine. Three quick things. Steve, then I'll hang up and listen. One is that what I just heard from Charlie Fisher.
Yes.
Class individual.
He is very much so. The only thing about Charlie that right now he and I are struggling with, he's a San Francisco Giants fan, is a diehard.
Well, because what he talked more about was that golf tournament for that.
Yes.
Basically, buddy of his that he no longer be around.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, that golf tournament is very, very important to him, and it's a major fundraiser for him. And what they're going to do is they've set it up in such a way where it's being set up, and they've made all the right moves in terms of making this a setup that maximizes the dollar that's donated to the point where it's like you have handed the individual organization the money firsthand yourself. That's how they've set this up. It cannot be set up any better.
Well, and the other two things is, the one is basically the way, instead of being Michael Schwimmer, he should be David Schwimmer from Friends, and the way he tweeted himself out there.
Right.
And the other thing is about Beckett ought to go back and remember one thing. and you're in the minor leagues and working your way up, that you were given a certain amount of ability, mm-hmm. and you had to earn your way to get to where you was. Don't take it for granted like it seems to be doing.
Well said, Dave. Very well said.
I'll let you go.
Could not have said it any better myself. I hope you have a great weekend. All right. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. And it was great to have Charlie Fisher on the show, by the way, as always. Charlie, one of the great guys. He is going to be a major asset to this program. And he will be a major asset in making this tournament successful. We are very pleased to be involved with that and involved with him in this. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. It is a Friday afternoon, and it is gorgeous, heading into a beautiful May Mother's Day weekend. Ah, it's Mother's Day. Have you gone out yet and picked up your card and gift? To all the guys out there, I strongly recommend it, and you don't have to be a genius to make that recommendation. Sarah Bartlett and the news at the bottom of the hour. Another half hour to go. In that half hour, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Love to hear your comments. Kevin Herb back in tow in a few moments. Sarah Bartlett with the news at the bottom of the hour in WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Brad Cashman will be stepping down as the head of the PIAA, retiring after 24 marvelous years. Brad's going to move to Virginia eventually. So the last championships under his watch will take place in the next few weeks. And then on July 1st, Bob Lombardi steps up to the job. Had a chance to talk to Bob earlier this week. I asked him about how he feels about the job Bucknell has done with the swimming championship and the great venue that they have.
Well, it's great to have a relationship with their athletic administration. You know Tim Pavlichko. You can't find a better athletic administrator than that man. He's outstanding. Of course, he has good genes. His father is the best of the best. He's a man I admired for years, yep. and worked with. But Bucknell, eight lanes is our key. We need to have eight lanes. It's just the way it has to be. And you know, the biggest issue becomes fast water and slow water. And the venue there, we're able to seat more people. We've always run into a seating problem that... But, you know, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, they can't get in. And when they're standing outside in the cold and in March, it doesn't matter if it's an $8 seat. People are unhappy. So they've helped us solve some of those things because we can get them inside and you're adjacent to the arena and get people accommodated for. But, you know, it's a tough thing with swimming because it's become so large that we have had to separate AA and AAA, and now we have almost a week. And it's caused us some administrative concerns because you have people possibly out of school. You're getting officials to work Tuesday through Saturday. You have time out of work, those type of things. So it has some challenges, but it's nice being there, especially at that great university.
Have you started to, in your mind, come up with a list of priorities that you would like to start considering almost in an advance plan of how you want to handle certain things down the road? Have you been able to get that far in your head?
Well, I have a wish list.
Okay.
I have a wish list.
Okay, well, let's talk about that wish list.
And we also had a 100-day plan, but I didn't know how political you wanted to be.
Well, let's talk about the 100-day plan and then your 100-year scorched earth plan.
But without sharing some of those things with the board, I might not even get down the road. It'd be the shortest tenure you've ever seen.
Good luck. Thanks for being with us. But it was a good show.
But yeah, we do have some things, and I'll share one with you away. And it involves the potential of this great facility here. We have always spoken in the office as staff, and if you talk to any principal or an athletic director, the toughest part of their school year is the end of year with testing and athletic bank back. Everything. We've always had on the drawing board for the spring. Out track, because it really needs to be where it is as far as not only venue, but time of year to stay away from the end of season. If we could get boys and girls lacrosse, baseball, and right at the same place in an Olympic Village type atmosphere with dormitories where we can get maybe a round out of the way and then finish it up on a weekend, we might solve in one swoop all those end of year school problems, hopefully find the right facility that has dormitories and those facilities. I think there might be one in close venue.
Yeah.
And comprise the schedule and yet expand the schedule for the schools that they're free to do the business of academics and run their end of school activities without conflicts.
Yeah.
Is that a wish list? You better believe it, baby.
Sure. And it has obviously
positive. Does it have any merit?
No, it has absolute merit. And, you know, there are logistics that would have to be worked out across the board, but it has incredible merit and excitement to it.
Well, think about the boys' volleyball kids that can walk over and see the softball.
Right.
And there's an inner pollination, so to speak, of athletes and communities supporting each other. They might not be from the same district. They could be from different areas. But the Olympic Village type atmosphere, we experienced a little of that in track. And we used to years and years ago here at Penn State in track. But now with this, I think I would hope that would come to fruition. I'm sure the board is thinking, he's a crackpot. Yeah. But I think you have to look at that.
No, but at the same time, there is a realization, and I see this in athletes all the time. Other athletes attend other athletic events. And we see that here all the time across the board because they love sports.
Yes.
And that's what you're talking and driving at. I did bring up something to you the last time we talked, and after going through the championship again, about in basketball, a Final Four followed by a championship. The reasons you laid out as to why it hasn't happened yet are completely and absolutely logical. Is it still something, though, that down the road to consider because of attendance?
And I'm glad you brought that up. Maybe the listeners aren't aware, but after every sports season, we meet with all representatives of that sport from their respective districts. We have what we call a steering committee. And this came up again. And the committee said, and they all understand the rationale, making people travel farther. They play one game, they get beat, they go home. We've dropped the consolation concept of games because they didn't work out. People are frustrated. They don't. And if the games break down, we had people getting hurt. We had people getting in a little antsy at each other, so to speak. So if we look at that, though, again on balance, maybe down the road where the steering committee had some conversation was, would it be feasible to identify regional sites throughout the whole tournament where we could say 3 months ahead, if you qualify from round one, you're going to go this place on the weekend and you're going to play two games. Now, the first thing that came up, they said, now, are the coaches going to be upset because they're going to have to play two games in a row? Are we going to be able in the facility be able to give some people some rest? Are we going to have equal rest? Are we going to treat everybody the same? Or is there a day between the game? What are we going to do with housing? Who's going to foot the bill? Is there any revenue sharing? That all goes into the pot. And I don't think the discussion's off the table, Steve, for this reason. You see what's happening in schools. Schools are getting crucified with the economy. I was just fortunate to be with Max Shoemaker in a little interview we had, and he did a great job. But he's under the gun because they're going for pay to play. 20 years ago, pay-to-play was heresy. Now it's happening a lot because if everybody contributes a little bit, you can keep the programs you have, and it's about participation. But where I'm going with it is this. The way we do business may change because the landscape has changed. So let's not sit in the back of the bus. Let's get up in the front of the bus and say, you know what? Let's consider these things. They may be a little different, but let's get in front of the curve instead of getting run over it.
You at least want to put it on the table for discussion at a minimum. That way, you're not falling behind.
Well, and the other piece of it is, when you ask me the question, say, do you ever think about this? How about this answer? What are you talking about? You'd right. think, what kind of that? Is that guy a putz? But I would like to be able to say, yeah. yes, we had that discussion,
right.
and here's the pros, here's the cons, and at this time we don't think it's in our best interest, but we're not afraid of the discussion.
Dr. Bob Lombardi, he will be taking over as the executive director of the PIAA on July 1st. Interesting discussion, Kevin. Very interesting discussion. Talking about the possibility of a sports festival for the spring, at least laying out the idea to discuss it, the possibility of laying out for a possible discussion of turning basketball, boys and girls basketball, into a Final Four at the venue because of attendance concerns. I'll give you an example. Lower Merion. Lower Merion had to play its semifinal game, and they played their semifinal game against Erie Cathedral Prep at a centralized location. Erie came down to Baldiglory and Wingate. Lower Merion worked its way up from Philadelphia to Baldiglory and Wingate, which is in Center County. That's where they played. Lower Merion won, went home, then came back to University Park to play the championship game. And University Park's a mere 15 miles from Wingate.
Well, so, and the same thing happened would have happened with Shikellamy this year. They went to Allentown to play a game. Then they right. would have had to go back to Allentown should they win again, or even maybe even further south, just because of the way the geography was set up for the tournament. So, yeah, I like the idea of a Final Four scenario for those teams that would have to move on.
But he also expanded it, though. He was talking about regional sites. In other words, Shikellamy would be sent to right. a regional site where they'd be guaranteed two games. Now, there will be cost involved. You have to, again, what are the costs involved? Because people would have to, quote, stay overnight. It is not a bus trip, play game, go back home. So those are some of the things they have to weigh. Playing a Final Four also entails, how do you do it? Do you play Friday night? Do you play Thursday, Saturday? Do you play Friday, Sunday? How do you do it? So there are logistics involved that they would have to work out. The sports festival idea is also interesting, about combining the championships into a sports festival type of long weekend, of possibly taking baseball, softball, boys and girls lacrosse, and boys volleyball, and putting them at a location. And obviously he's thinking of Penn State when he said that. Track and field, those at Shippensburg. And you can tell by the answer, track and field isn't moving from Shippensburg.
Yeah, it sounded pretty solid right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, solid as a rock, and it's not part of the equation in this discussion.
Although, as a fan and following high school sports a lot, it does make it a little taxing to have all those sports in one particular area. And I think that really spring is the only time of year you could actually do that.
That's all he talked about, though, Kevin.
No,
he
I know.
All he talked about was a spring sports festival. He knows logistically you can't do it the other times of the year.
But, I mean, it would be a great idea if you could do it the other times of the year. But I also know, too, the money that's brought into our economy, too, because of the swimming championships, that would be – I don't know if this – obviously we're talking spring sports and not winter sports here – but I don't know how that would affect those communities that are hosting some of the spring sports now by doing it all in one, if that would take everything away. But I think most of the spring sports are held just at different times in the same location. Am I incorrect with that?
Boys volleyball's here. Softball's here.
The softball or the volleyball,
here.
I wasn't sure about. Yeah, it's just different
boys
times.
Volleyball, baseball, softball, they're already here.
Yeah. So in that particular instance.
It's not a leap.
Right, right. In that particular instance, it wouldn't be as much of a problem.
Our number 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. We'll close out the week with the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this.
final segment of the show for the week.
By the way, I do want to apologize, Steve. We weren't able to catch up with Jeremy Wynn today. However, we will have him next week. Jeremy Wynn, the new coach of the Lewisburg Green Dragons.
Looking forward to that very much. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We continue on here. And looking forward to the weekend. But one of the things they were very concerned about is the attendance at events in the PIAA. And I can tell you right now that one of the problems that they're having, for example, with the basketball championship in terms of attendance, is the number of charter schools that have done well. You know, what's the student body of a charter school?
Well, and you know how I feel about the way that they're grouped as well. I mean, we've talked about this several times. Sure. I think that there has to be, not only before all this would be able to happen, I think there has to be a redistricting, and I think they have to reclassify schools as well. In the AAA boys basketball side of things in the East, three-quarters of the teams were either private or charter-style schools.
Right. And that affects attendance because, for example, you're not looking at, our student body is 300 and whatever, and the student body's all into it, and they all, you know, half of them go, and there's 150, maybe even 200 tickets and so forth. Our charter school has 50. Okay.
You're not exactly.
You're great at basketball, but guess what?
Nobody goes to see you.
We took the entire school. Great. They both enjoyed it. All right.
And with the redistricting issue, you won't have teams from this area in District 4 traveling all the way to Allentown to play a first-round playoff game. Now, I know I'm looking at this from my perspective, and I know a lot of Shikellamy fans felt the same way. It's like, wait a minute, we're driving all the way down there? Well, it happened with football, too. Clearfield had to come all the way to Shamokin a few years ago. Yes. Matter of fact, several times to play games. Because of the way the football bracketing was done. They actually played Allentown Central Catholic at Shamokin. That game should have been like a championship game, east-west, because we've gotten away from the geographic breakdown. So I think all that has to happen before you could get into a Final Four basketball scenario alone. But I do like the idea. It's very intriguing.
I brought it up to him a couple different times. And he's now in a little bit different position than the last time I talked to him about it, because now he knows he is the incoming executive director of the PIAA. The last time I had talked to him, you know, Brad was going to retire, but they hadn't made a selection yet as to who was going to get the job, and it turned out Bob did get the job. He's a forward thinker. He's a big-picture guy. He also, you heard him talk about pay-to-play. You heard him talk about the financial limitations of school districts now. He gets it. He gets it. Now, there's a board to answer to. And not only that, it is not simple, and these are not simple and cut and dried decisions. They aren't. Logistics are involved. School time missed involved. There are a lot of things that have to be brought into play before they make decisions. I will say this about the PIAA. You can be a critic of the PIAA, but the people I know that are there, including Bob, and yes, including Brad, they first and foremost care about the student-athlete. That's their number one concern every time out. That's the way they are. We could talk about redistricting and about where championships are and so forth, but that still is their number one priority. How they work it out, yeah, we can discuss down the road, but at least Bob brings some interesting ideas to the table.
They're fresh ideas.
That allow discussion, and I like that. And it's a discussion that affects student-athletes. It's a discussion that affects parents, fans, coaches. It's a great thing to at least get it out on the table. Talk about it. You know? And you get the impression from Bob that status quo is okay for the moment, but is it okay 5 years from now? So.
Yeah, I like some of the ideas, and I think he has realistic implementation of that, too, because he always goes back to recognizing the money side of things. And I felt this way many times, and I know a lot of people feel completely opposite. I believe that athletics are and extracurricular activities, not just athletics, but all extracurricular activities are part of the high school experience and all part of the growth of a student or a student athlete. And to take some of that away for one reason or another, to me, is like taking a class away, because there are things you're going to learn by playing sports. And I'm not talking about teamwork or anything like that. You're going to learn one thing in particular, that when you go in half, you don't bring 100%, you decide to slack off a little bit, it doesn't affect just you the way it does in the classroom with your grade. Now it's going to affect everybody else. And that's a life lesson. If you go into work someday and you're only halfway there, then the rest of the work team suffers too. And that's a lesson you're not going to get in the classroom. So that's why I always think that athletics have a big part of the educational experience.
And I want to include band in that.
Absolutely.
And I want to include cheerleading squad in that. I mean, and I've always, you know, the pay-to-play thing's always bugged me. It always has bothered me. And I know school districts are getting killed and so forth, but, you know, on the mark, and Mark Lawrence can explain some of the issues around that have nothing to do with athletics, okay? But I've never liked the pay-to-play thing. I never have. And it wasn't like that when I was in high school. It was part of the experience. Look, for me, the greatest thing out of high school that I got was I always cherished the teams I played on. For people I know that were in the band, they always cherished the fact that they were in the band. Rarely do you hear somebody, "Oh, boy, I really cherish my algebra class." Really?
I cherished that book that I got in algebra class. Not really.
But, I mean, seriously, those are the bonds.
Absolutely agree.
Those are the bonds that you carry the rest of your life, are in these organizations and activities. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. We had a fun week. Thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to you. Thanks to the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We'll talk to you next week.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.